Do you have questions about your health? Do you need to find out what's keeping you from feeling your absolute best? If so, your intuition has guided you to the right place. I am Dr. Charlize, and welcome to the Art of Healing podcast community. In this podcast, we explore all topics in health and wellness, from Reiki to functional medicine, energy medicine, chakras, and meditation. Join me every week for fresh new episodes that highlight healers, various healing modalities, and use this as your opportunity to find what healing works best for you. If you want to learn more about me, simply Google at Dr. Charlize. Enjoy. Hello, this is Charlize, and thank you so much for joining me for the Art of Healing podcast. This episode, we are going to be focusing on four fun facts about the heart. So I have been focusing my reading and research, as well as a lot of my content, on issues of the heart, matters of the heart. Throughout the month of August, we discussed the vagus nerve quite a bit, and there's a reason why. And if you are listen to the end of the podcast, I'll share with you what's going on in my world and why we want to talk about our hearts so much. Okay, so fact number one, do you know where the heart shape comes from? Do you actually know where the shape of the heart comes from? So as I've been doing some of my reading and research, I got curious as to the symbol, the heart symbol, you know, what's its origin? And I thought the answer was going to be pretty straightforward. I'd assume that maybe it had, you know, something to do with maybe like, you know, Valentine's Day, maybe Catholic in origin, something like that. So as I started to do a little bit of digging, it turns out the origin of the heart shape is not so obvious. So according to Art and Object, which can be found at www.artandobject.com, the heart shape was used as a decorative symbol in ancient societies. It appears to be, according to this website, the oldest use of it was in the Indus Valley civilizations. It was often used in decorative jewelry, and that the shape appears to derive from the heart-shaped fig leaf, an ivy, or possibly a water lily, where the leaves had something of the same something of the same shape as the heart shape. And for these societies, the heart shape had the symbolism of fidelity. Another source I checked, which was history.com, and to be honest, it wasn't a whole lot of info when I started to look, that the heart shape likely derives from a plant. So according to history.com, and I'll put both the links of these in the show notes, that perhaps the most unusual theory concerning the origin of the heart comes from the Silphium. So this is a form of a giant fennel that once grew in North Africa on the coastline near the Greek colony of Cyrene. The ancient Greeks and Romans used silphium as a food flavoring and a medicine. It seemed to work very well to help with coughs. And as we journey further together, if you'd like to go with me, that we'll be touching on coughs, the lungs, the heart chakra. And then also this plant, the silphium, was most famous as a form of birth control. Ancient writers and poets held this plant for its contraceptive powers. So it became very popular, and it was cultivated until it became extinct, possibly in the first century AD. So it appears that the seed pod of the silphium seems to resemble the Valentine's heart. And this herb, because of its association with contraception, also became associated with love and with sex. And that may be the source of the heart symbol. So interesting that potentially the symbol of love that we all use so ubiquitously now may actually come from originally a contraceptive. So very interesting. And I just, when you search for like, you know, love symbolism, heart symbol, there is not much information. So it's interesting to know. Listeners, if you have thoughts, questions, or some information on that, absolutely shoot me a message. You can DM me through Instagram, and also you can send me a direct email, charlize@healingartshealthandwellness.com, and I'll put my email in the show notes. So, interesting fact. Fact or observation number two. So, in the study of embryology, which is the study of embryos, this is a very important topic in medicine, in healthcare, and in science. So where we come from, so of course, you know, being mammals, come from probably an egg and a sperm being fertilized. And then the period of time from that until the birth of the child is the study of embryology. Being a practicing physician and in healthcare, we typically have to have some working knowledge of embryology. And for my next project, I was really curious in particular about the embryology, the formation, the growth of the heart. So for scientists, I don't know if any embryologists are listening, but we do know that in the human embryo, one of the first organs that is going to form is the heart. And of course, in prenatal care, that's a really important time in the baby's journey, is the first heartbeat. And it appears that it's around the 21st day after conception that the human heart will begin to beat on its own. As far as how the heart forms, where does that come from, is a very complicated, orchestrated action of cells that come together to eventually contract and beat for the first time. So that seems to happen in around 21 days. And also, 21 days is an important time period in many studies of religion, many disciplines. In Reiki, 21 days is a very important time. After your first attunement in Reiki, there's a 21-day period of transformation, of healing, in which the new Reiki practitioner will perform Reiki on themselves for 21 days straight. And depending on your training or your personal journey in Reiki, that may also go along with like a sort of dietary alteration, more cleansing, more of a healing diet, more increased rest. But that 21 days after the attunement is very important in helping you transform in your Reiki journey. And then also asked a lifelong dear friend of mine, I didn't know if I can quote her name or not, because I have tons of friends, but I don't know if they all want to be out there. But I asked one of my dear friends who is very, very knowledgeable in the Bible about the 21-day period. And I asked her, well, you know, I know that 21 days in the Bible is important, and I don't remember why. And she reminded me that the 21-day period is what is the period of time that the Daniel fast occurs. So again, doing some research, I discovered that the scripture, Daniel 1:12, states that please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, and I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So again, another interesting correlation. Third fun fact about the heart: your heart is intelligent. Your heart is actually smart. So did you know that your heart has its own nervous system? It actually has two of its own little brains, and it has its own set of nerves that run throughout the heart. So, brain's best description, but it's two bundles of nerves that are inside of the heart. One is at the top of the heart, one in the upper chamber, and one's in the lower chamber, and they're called nodes. They're bundles of nerves that are very, very important. The scientific names of them, the medical names, are the sinoatrial node and the AV node. And these nodes are responsible for determining how fast your heart beats. So sometimes they're called pacemakers. And of course, we're all pretty familiar with the term pacemaker because those are devices that are implanted in the heart, in someone's heart that cannot beat properly on its own or does not beat fast enough or beats too irregular at times. So each one of these pacemakers actually has its own default programming that it will go to its own rhythm unless it gets outside input from the vagus nerve. So that's sort of interesting to note that although you register your heart beating, especially like when you're anxious, when you're nervous, if you have to go from standing still to running all of a sudden, your heart really starts to thump, thump, thump. But then at times when you're relaxed or like maybe like if you're listening to this podcast, you may not actually be aware of your heart beating, yet in the background, it is keeping a perfect rhythm, the perfect rhythm to keep blood flowing to your heart, to keep blood flowing to your legs, to keep blood flowing to your organs, and that it will adjust itself in a time frame that is so rapid, our brains really can't even register how fast that it will do that. So for instance, if you're sitting and you go from sitting still to moving rapidly, if you get up and start running, you didn't tell your heart to pick up speed. You notice you didn't have to consciously think speed the heart up to run. Your heart took in all of these incredible signals from the vagus nerve, from the rate of breathing, from the content of your blood, the carbon dioxide content in your blood. It took in all this information and automatically responds to raise your heart rate to get you ready for that physical challenge. So, being that I'm a physician, I'm so fortunate that a lot of my friends are physicians and they're in different specialties than me, which it just is so fun because I do like to poke their brains and, you know, ask them their thoughts. So one of my dear friends who is a cardiologist, who has a very, very busy practice because she's awesome, of course. I asked her, when it comes to the heart and, matters of the heart, what's one thing she would like her patients to know? And, you know, I thought it'd be good to get her viewpoint because she treats hearts. She puts devices in hearts, all of this. And quoting her, she told me the one thing she wanted people to know is that your heart is connected to your mind. Your mind controls everything. And if you heal your mind, your heart will follow. She shared with me that as a practicing cardiologist, she is extremely surprised at how often she is actually practicing psychology and how often she's dealing with matters of anxiety or depression in correlation with treating cardiac disease. So this is someone that does this for a living all the time, that knowing and healing your mind, you can know and heal your heart. She shares with me that one of the most common reasons people come to her actually relates to anxiety, not actually a cardiac disease. And finally, the last of the four fun facts about the heart. For those of you listeners that may already be familiar with the chakras or maybe energy workers or just, you know, already have this knowledge, you'll already know that the fourth chakra is Anahata, which is the real name of the wheel of light of that chakra, which is the heart chakra. And it's interesting that the fourth chakra, you know, the main organ of it is the heart, which also has four chambers. So the heart has four chambers. Two of those are what's called ventricles, which are the larger chambers on the bottom, and the two on the top are called atria. So I was just kind of been thinking about, like, it's interesting that, you know, the fourth chakra is also the heart chakra that also has four chambers. Is there some significance to that? And, you know, maybe there's not, but I wanted to do a little more research. So numerology, which is the study of numbers, the energetic meaning of numbers, there are definitely expert numerologists. I've done some reading on it, but I wanted to see, you know, is there some significance to the number four? And according to numerology, the number four is typically associated with order, with service. The positive attributes of the number four include being highly organized and grounded, being dependable and reliable, trustworthy, with attention to detail, and manual dexterity. And the negative attributes of the number four associated with the energy of the number four, limiting beliefs, being boxed in, stubborn, reluctant to change, being shaky or unstable, or unable to create a solid foundation to support goals and desires, and being untidy. And so that's kind of interesting that some of these attributes of stability, grounding, being dependable, reliable, they're associated with the number four, which is also the fourth chakra. And, you know, it seems like, you know, maybe if you're not, don't have your energy flowing very well in that area, if you're blocked in your heart chakra, you know, are you organized? Do you feel grounded? You know, we often associate love with being dependable, with being reliable. And, you know, if someone's having trouble with that, are they grounded? Or maybe there's a block there that's creating that. So just an observation as I'm exploring this topic more. And as a student of medicine, a student of Reiki, a student of so many things, I don't know that I can ever claim expert. Seeing these coincidences, seeing these things line up makes you really question, you know, what's it all for? You know, what does it all mean? So, thank you once again for being an Art of Healing podcast listener. Everyone has value to their time. So, the longer I journey as a podcaster, I am understanding the value more and more that each one of you spends some of your time with me, some of your time listening. And I did want to share that the reason why I've been exploring the heart, been exploring the heart chakra, been exploring all things heart related and where the journey goes next is that I am working on my next book. And I'm so excited to be doing this. I've written one book called The 21-Day Meditation Journey. And I discovered in the process of writing and releasing this book was that it reawakened sort of a longing and a wonder that I had in the human body. I had that wondering when I was in medical school or when I was in college learning science. And like so many of us, once the demands of life set in, once you know, life just kicks in, and particularly being a practicing doctor, so much of the wonder has been replaced with the problem, the categorization, the naming, the judging. And in writing my first book, I discovered that it was a gift to me because it returned me back to some of the things that put me on the path that I'm on, that sheer wonder of how we work, how the heart works, how the lungs work. How does that tie into our emotions? So my second book is The Heart of Being, and will hopefully be released early in 2022. And if you are interested, if you'd like to know more, if you'd like to go with me on the journey, if you'd like to have some input, actually, as listeners, you guys are pretty, you're interesting yourselves, and you got some powerful thoughts. And if you want some input, if you want to know more, or, you know, just contribute or however, I will include my email, charlise@healingartshealthandwellness.com, in the show notes. Definitely reach out to me. And I will make sure to put a link for a place you can sign up if you do want updates on the Heart of Being, where it's going, what all it's going to be. I'm so excited. It's so much to cover that I don't want to try to cram it all in here as far as what all is going to be in this book. But I would just share that it's definitely going to the place that I was, you know, 20 years ago when I first started my journey as a physician. So once again, definitely sign up if you want updates. So much gratitude for you being a listener, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining during this episode of the Art of Healing podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a review. Also, you can check your show notes to find out how to get a copy of this and future episodes emailed directly to your inbox, available to listen to anytime. Finally, if you have questions or wish to connect to me, check your show notes to find out how we can get connected and find out how I can be of service to you.